It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night on a Friday right here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and on the 101.3 ESPN app. A full show going up until 7 o'clock. This has been a really, really fun day. Like, I am all just jazzed up with energy here about the Labatt Pond Hockey Classic. But, you know, it's my first time. If you've played in the Labatt Pond Hockey Classic, if you've been out to it before, get in on the 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. It was my first trip down to the ice. Last year I was part of the event, but I pretty much was stationed at Rozzi's. So I wasn't down on the ice seeing exactly what it was like. I mean, it's a crazy scene. 13 rinks or so down there, 155 total teams, all these people meshing from all over New England, the Northeast, talking to the people who organize the events about all that it takes to get this event going on. From, look, building the rink as early as December, getting the rinks made, getting the lake plowed from the snow that we just got, leveling the ice. I mean, Zambonying, you know, pseudo Zambonying the ice, the food trucks, the beverage distribution, the medical personnel, the permits from the city and the town, the liquor control, all of this stuff. It was really, really fun to see, and it was awesome to be down there and share it with some of you guys. Well, look, we got a lot of compliments down there, and we appreciate that. You know, Christy Lefebvre, the head coach of UVM women's soccer, her mom was down there and had a lot of nice things to say about the show and the station. So we appreciate that. It's nice connecting with you guys. Arnie will be out on the pub crawl tonight on Church Street, and Rich will be out there tomorrow. We do have a pretty full show. Actually, not a pretty full show. We got a full show coming up. Also, the team names are what really had Arnie's wife. And Arnie's wife and I were doing this shift together today. So that's what, you know, the team names had her really, really falling over laughing. The Philly Cheese Skates, the No Deeks instead of the Nordiques. There were quite a lot of good ones there, too. So what's coming up on the show today? Brandon Lang's going to stop by for the final time, wrap up football season with us. Our Vegas insider was with us all year long on the show, in the huddle, and on 101.3ESPN.com. So he'll stop by at 6:20. We'll talk about UVM hoops and what's going to happen the rest of the year. Some notes and thoughts on the Red Sox and which player needs to step up for them most this year. But first, I got to respond to some people on Facebook that were commenting on our 101.3ESPN page. So yesterday I put out this story, and I had a source tell me that Deion Lewis is, quote, frustrated in New England and will look to explore free agency. And I put that out on our website and on our Facebook page, and people said, you know, someone said, well, must not like winning, or must be frustrated by all the winning they do. And someone else said, well, leave it to these guys who are ungrateful. This is paraphrasing. Leave it to these guys who are ungrateful. Another pickup off the injury scrap heap, made into a talent by the Patriots, developed by the Patriots, and made into a household name by the Patriots. If he leaves, he'll end up being nothing. And I don't know where that vehemence comes from. I don't know where those sentiments, either one of them, comes from. Number one, Deion Lewis does owe the Patriots a lot for his career. They did find him. Deion Lewis was with the Colts, the Browns, and the Eagles prior to ending up with the Patriots, and he had a broken leg at one point in his career, and he was down and out, and he wasn't signed anywhere. The Patriots signed him, you know, 3 years ago to a futures reserve contract. So he owes the Patriots for, I don't know if it's even resurrecting so much as it is really starting his career, although he had been three other places. He owes the Patriots a lot. But he owes the Patriots nothing when it comes time for these contract negotiations. He owes the Patriots nothing in terms of self-sacrifice. What are the three things that motivate professional athletes? There's three things that motivate professional athletes. One of them is stats. They want to accumulate stats, individual success. Maybe they end up as a Hall of Famer, right? Personal success, individual stats, they can motivate players. Two, winning championships can motivate players. Some players are in this to win championships, and they'll take pay cuts and they'll, you know, go to these places so that they have a better chance at winning. And the other one is money. We know that some athletes are playing, maybe not just to collect a paycheck, but they want to collect as big a paycheck as possible, especially in the NFL, because the careers are so short. And remember, we think about that. Most players in the NFL are out by 35. Certain positions are out by 30. So you only have 4 to 6 years in the league really to capitalize on your earning potential. So you got to make as much money as you can. So three things motivate athletes: championships, personal statistics, and money. Deion Lewis has already won a championship. He won a championship last year. He was in a Super Bowl this year. He's already accomplished that one big goal. The one big goal that every athlete says they have, that they want to win a championship, he's already done that. So now what I would tell him is, if I were his agent, I would say, dude, you've won the championship. Now you have finished that part of your career. You've written that story. Now what do you want? If you want money, if you want the chance to accumulate statistics, then go. That's what I would tell him if I were his agent. And I would be 100% okay with that if I were a fan of the Patriots. Yes, as a Patriot fan, I would like to have Deion Lewis back because Deion Lewis is valuable. Deion Lewis is good. But if Deion Lewis leaves because he's motivated by more regular playing time, or if he's motivated by a bigger paycheck than the Patriots are willing to give him, then that shouldn't be mocked. That shouldn't just be, oh, here's another unaware athlete, you know, or a guy who's not self-aware, who doesn't know that he's no good without the Patriots. So what? Whether he leaves the Patriots and gains 1,000 yards next year, or he leaves the Patriots and gains 100 yards next year, he's already won the title. If he's now no longer fully or no longer solely motivated by the championship, go get the money. Go get the statistics. Go get the money that the stats bring. Go get the endorsement dollars, whatever it is. But I don't think that that's selfish. I think that's human nature. He has accomplished the ultimate team goal. Now, why not go work on the individual goals? Money, stats, playing time, league notoriety, whatever it is. Big man on campus of your NFL city, whatever it is. If that's what he wants, and well, my sources have told me he is, quote, frustrated in New England, I have not heard, any, I have not asked nor heard anything else about what may be motivating him. So if he wants those other things, of which I have no knowledge that he does, but if he leaves New England to chase those other things, don't get on him, Patriot fans. Just say, look, you helped us win a title. You almost helped us win a second. Thank you for that. And good luck wherever you go. There would be nothing wrong with that. 802-655-6672. Trevor in St. Albans says, they said the same thing about Chris Long when he left, saying he was going to a losing team. Some of their fans get ridiculously offended on things like this. So Trevor's saying Patriot fans don't take kindly to being shunned, basically. And look, I don't care. If Deion Lewis wants to go play for the Browns and sign for 3 years and $20 million, then so be it. He's already won the title. He's paid his, you know, he's gotten from the Patriots what he wanted, which is a ring, and he's helped deliver them what they want, which is a ring. If he's no longer motivated by just winning championships, then fine. Go get what you are motivated for at this point. At Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Remember, 10 minutes from now, Brandon Lang, our Vegas insider, will join us. But some news and notes on the Boston Red Sox right now, because I was reading this story on ESPN. Well, let's get to one more text real quick. David from Rouse's Point. I agree 100% with what you said about Deion Lewis. This is professional sports. People tend to forget that. And David, that's a good point too. We as fans, and look, I'm not trying to come down on the high horse and talk down to fans, because I'm a fan too. If somebody left the Seahawks, I would be disappointed, but eventually I would have to pull back and recognize he helped us win a ring. Now let him go and try to accomplish what he wants. And people, once they win one ring, money and stats and playing time can often become that next thing that they want to conquer. So as getting back to the Red Sox here, Andrew Benintendi was on ESPN.com. They put him in basically a small group of players that are ready to take the next step in baseball and how important that next step is for their career. Benintendi had a good year last year as a rookie, 270, 20 homers, 90 RBIs, hit in the middle of that Red Sox order. He did a lot as a 22, 23-year-old for Boston. And he is hugely important to the Red Sox. They're all hugely. Chris Sale is important. David Price is important. Dustin Pedroia is important. Mookie Betts is important. Jackie Bradley is important. Andrew Benintendi is important. None of them, I think, their development is as important as Rafael Devers. And as I move my mind towards spring training, I can't help but think that one of the most interesting Red Sox storylines is the development of Devers. Because at this point, well, no one is entirely a known commodity. I mean, Mookie Betts had still a very good year last year, but it was a massive downgrade from the year he had 2 years ago. So, if we pencil Mookie Betts in for 330 and 100, we could miss on that by some degree. But I have confidence in saying that Andrew Benintendi is going to be a good player next year for the Boston Red Sox. I have no idea what Rafael Devers is going to be. I have no idea what he's going to bring to the team. In a full year, could he hit 35 home runs? If he hits 35 home runs, now that team that finished last in the American League in homers, that is sapped for power in their lineup, now that lineup becomes a whole lot better, a whole lot deeper, and those power numbers become a whole lot better also, all because of Devers. Alone because, solely because of Devers. That said, if after half a year of film on Devers, he comes out of the gate and hits 100 in April and then goes into a season-long tailspin and finishes the year at 236 with 14 homers and 61 RBIs, and he's a major disappointment, now I have a guy, mentally who could be struggling. I have a guy physically who we feel like now we rush to the big leagues or something. I feel like Andrew Benintendi is more of a known commodity. I know it's hard to say that after just one. We've had one full year of Andrew Benintendi. We've had half a year of Rafael Devers. The separation isn't that great. But Benintendi comes in with top prospect grooming. I feel like I know what to expect from him, at least in the ballpark. That as long as he's healthy, Andrew Benintendi's going to hit me 20 home runs, bring in between 85 and 100, steal some bags, and hit in the middle of my order. I have no idea what to expect from Rafael Devers this year. If I lean on Devers and say, look, man, I think this guy's hitting me 27 homers this year, he could hit 14. He could hit 40 and overexceed, but he could hit 14 and regress. And those are things that I'm just not sure about. So when we go into Red Sox spring training and talk about which players' development are we most excited about, are we most intrigued by, it's not going to be Andrew Benintendi taking that next step. It's going to be, can Rafael Devers do this and more for the entire season? And that's what I am so pumped for spring training. It's been such an interesting offseason. It's been an atypical offseason because of the lack of free agent signings. And anytime there's any kind of labor strife, that worries me as a baseball fan. I do not want to see the season taken away ever, whether that's this year or in 4 years. I have no idea. But I don't ever want to see there be contention between the two sides because I love the game. I want the game to be strong. I'm pumped for spring training. Pitchers and catchers report on Tuesday. First workouts are on Wednesday. Red Sox and Yankees. The rivalry is going to be great. The American League has phenomenal storylines when you throw in Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout with the Angels, and you throw in maybe the Twins are going to get Yu Darvish, and you look at what Cleveland is right now. Baseball is going to be great. I cannot wait for it to get here. And I just can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens with the Red Sox. I can't wait to see what happens with the Yankees because I think they're both good. I think the Yankees are better. Last year, I spent all spring training telling you, and all the way up until August 1st telling you, Red Sox are a better team. And the Red Sox ended up being a better team. This year, I'm telling you, the Yankees are a better team. They're better in the bullpen, in my mind, even though the Red Sox had a better pen last year. The Yankees are better in the bullpen. They're better offensively. They hit for more power. The starting rotations are leaning towards the Red Sox, but with that bullpen and that power, it may not matter as much about the starting rotation. Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Zach in Bristol Brady, those comments on the Facebook page are why I hate the Pats and their fans. They're very ungrateful. Zach, I appreciate the comment. I appreciate you reaching out. But let's think about this. It's not so much just Pat fans. And I know it's easy to pile on Patriot fans. And if you're up here, you grow tired of the Patriots and you grow tired of their fans because that's all you're inundated with it. I have always hated the Yankees. I mean, let's be upfront about it. I have always hated the Yankees. And as a Mariner fan, when I was in fourth, fifth grade and I was in the back of the school bus arguing like we always did, I was always trying to justify that the Mariners back then, 2000 and 2001, were good. And I would tell everybody, man, A-Rod is the best shortstop in baseball. And there would be some guy, some fifth grade snob at the time. Nah, man, Jeter's better. Jeter's way better. Jeter's way better. Look how many World Series he's won already in his career. You know, I tell everyone about Edgar Martinez. And, oh, Bernie Williams, man, he's better. So you just grow resentment when it's always shoved in your face. I understand that. I've lived it. I've lived it being in this, you know, in markets where I don't like the teams that have any correlation to the market. But this is not just a Patriot thing. This is a fan thing. Most fans stands for fanatics. Most fans are ungrateful of that stuff. Most fans don't recognize how could he want to leave my team? Look at what they did for him. My team gave him a chance. My team drafted him. My team signed him. My team gave him the big money. My team pulled him off the scrap heap. My team helped him rehab from his injury. And that's all of that is true. But when you win the title for that team, I feel like you've paid off anything that you owed that team. And then you owe it to yourself to go out and try to seek what's best for you and for your family if you have one. Champlain Valley Game Night, again, on 101.3 ESPN. Let's go to a break. When we come back, he was with us all year long, our Vegas insider, Brandon Lang. He's going to stop by. He's going to talk to us about how he picked the Super Bowl correctly and what does he do once football season ends. And then we'll get back into some Pats and some offseason news and notes. That's next. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Look, I thought the football season was over, so I was all sad because I thought we didn't get to talk to our buddy from Vegas anymore, Brandon Lang from BrandonLang.com. We hung out with him at the Super Bowl, and I thought that was it until March Madness. But we're going to talk to Brandon one more time today because I realize here that as all of New England, well, most of New England, is trying to forget the fact the Super Bowl existed last week. Brandon, you moved to like 101 for the Super Bowl in your life, huh?
Well, not 101, but 23-3, and have been on the right side of the 28 that I've picked. I've been on the right side of 27 of them, so it's the only one that got me was Denver, Seattle. So you won't have an easier game to get on the right side of from a completely objective standpoint than the game that we just had. Being at Radio Row and talking to people and hearing people talk about there's no way Foles would beat Brady or there's no way. And I just kept looking at people saying, listen to me. The wrong side of the game is New England. Do you people not understand that? When have the Patriots ever gone to a Super Bowl and just blown somebody out by three touchdowns? And I said, if the Westgate Casino is going to tell you that the line on the game if Carson Wentz was playing would be a pick'em, then common sense would tell you that Vegas is telling you that Philadelphia is the better team and that the X factor in the game is Nick Foles. And then I looked at him and said, what game were you watching two weeks ago against the number one defense outdoors in the elements when he went 26 of 33 for 352 yards, three touchdowns, and no turnovers? I go, you're putting the guy indoors. You're putting him in perfect conditions. He just shredded the number one defense in the NFL for 31 points. You don't think he's going to have success against New England? I said the wrong side of the game is New England. Get on the right side. I'm trying to tell you people, get on the right side. And it's amazing to me, even going into that game being 22-3, that people want to argue with you. It kills me.
How many people were you able to convince to at least get on the Eagles side? I had the Patriots winning 26-23, so I would have been on your side in having the Eagles cover the spread. How many people did you get to at least come to that side with you?
I'd say 50%, you know, people I talked to at Radio Row. I had, you know, my final score was 33-27, and my wife, she goes, what's your final? And like, she's been with me for 14 years. And I said, 33-27, and she says, that's not enough. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, you're not giving Philly enough. And I go, should I increase it by a touchdown? She says, you should. She said, if they scored 38 against Minnesota, and Minnesota's got a better defense than Philadelphia, she said, she goes, then Philly's going to get to 40. And then I countered her. My wife is so smart. And I countered her, and I said, if Philly is going to get to 40, they're going to need a defensive touchdown. And I said, I just don't see New England doing that because they don't do – I mean, Brady did it last year against Atlanta. Do I think Brady's going to do it here? And I go, I don't know. It's tough. If I go to 40 – I go, then I'm going to need a defensive touchdown. And I just, in my heart, feel I'm not going to get that. So if I increased it by a touchdown, it would have been 40-34. And my wife, after the game, said, see, you listened to me. You'd have been sniffing it again. And I just had to laugh. So pretty happy with Philly. Pretty happy with the over. I released 10 prop bets. I hit 6 of them. Had Zach Ertz over 5.5 receptions. Had first score of the game would be a field goal. Nick Foles, MVP. We had... first sack of the game would be by the Eagles. It was just overall one of the best Super Bowls I ever had.
Are we going to start getting the one-day all-access pass from your wife's picks now?
I tell you what, I need to put it up on the website. Asian Assassin. Asian Assassin will take your bookie down. She's a bookie killer. The Assassin Kim Lang in her top play. No, she's great. She said it was the least stressed she's ever seen me. Because I had the winner 10 minutes after the conference championships were over. I had my winner, and I wasn't getting off it. It was the earliest that I released it. And I released the Super Bowl on Monday, Super Bowl week, and those 7 days that it was posted on the website, I put up a college basketball play knowing I would have a Super Bowl audience. And wouldn't you know it, I went 7-0 in college basketball last week, Super Bowl week. I'm currently on a 14-2 college basketball run, including 10 of my last 11. So everywhere you look, Langer, the life in Langer the Bangerland is pretty good there. Pretty good.
Brandon Lang for BrandonLang.com was with us every week of the NFL season. We wrap it up now here on Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3 ESPN.com. So what happens next for you? You're going to get into college hoops, and then what? Are you into baseball season, horse racing? What comes for you in the summer?
So I'll do college basketball. I'm like I said, you know, when you've hit 10 of your last 11 and you're 14-2, your last 16, but more importantly, of your 14 wins, 11 of those have been underdogs that have won the game outright. So take a deep breath and think about that I'm not only releasing dogs, I'm giving you dogs that are winning outright. So that's how dialed in college basketball I am right now. So I will ride this all the way through March Madness, which will be the first week of April. Then baseball starts. I'll do baseball till the NBA playoffs begin. And then once the NBA playoffs begin, I'll do NBA pretty much the rest of the way out. People say, why don't I touch NBA regular season? My answer has always been the same. Years ago, I was partying in Vegas with an NBA All-Star that didn't make the All-Star team. He was sitting in Vegas. We partied at one of the many adult establishments there. We partied pretty hard. And he looked over at me on Sunday, and he said, where are we playing on Wednesday night? I said, you're in Denver. He says, Denver? He says, I ain't playing. I'm going to pull my hamstring in pregame warm-ups. He said, you should just bet against us. He goes, because I ain't playing. I'm partying. And he goes, and when I'm on the road some nights and I meet a fine girl and we go at it, he says, I seem to always put a hamstring in pregame. And I said to myself, I will never bet the NBA regular season the rest of my life.
Brandon, do you get like an empty feeling inside when the NFL is over?
Not really, because the pressure to hit the Super Bowl, which my career's been defined on it, and again, 23-3 speaks for itself.
Yeah.
The high of that win lasts me, it's for six months. It lasts me until football season starts. So many people put their faith in me. And to break the game down the way that I did, to basically say in my analysis, which is still posted on the website at BrandonLang.com, I said, I'm not worried about Nick Foles. I said, Nick Foles was great against Atlanta. He was great against Minnesota. He's going to be great against Philadelphia. And I said Philadelphia would win the game. I said they were the better team. I said they'd win it by double digits, and they won it by 8. I couldn't be happier. And then to see that cockroach Bill Belichick have to slither away with the Malcolm Butler decision, lying to everybody, saying, I'm going to put the best players out there who give me the best chance to win. Who are you trying to fool, Bill? Your best cover man was Malcolm Butler. You set him on the bench because he did something to make you mad, and in your big egotistical self, you never thought Nick Foles could beat you with or without Malcolm Butler, and that's why you benched him, because you thought you would be fine. Your ego wrote a check that you couldn't cash, and conversely, it cost your team a Super Bowl.
Brandon Lang from BrandonLang.com. Brandon, look, first you told us Duke was going to win the national title. Then you told us Michigan State was going to win the national title. Neither one of those teams are going to win the national title now. Who's the third pick on the Brandon Lang special?
I tell you what, do not count Michigan State out when it gets to a six-game tournament. Duke's got no shot whatsoever. The big game is tomorrow. Keep an eye on Purdue and Michigan State. I know Purdue got upset at home to Ohio State, who looked really, really good. But at the end of the day, I still think Purdue in a six-game playoff could be really tough to beat with their bigs. Villanova's banged up. They got to get that. They got to get those two players back. Most certainly, odds-on favorite. But at the end of the day, this is as wide open an NCAA tournament that I can remember, and it wouldn't surprise me. Mark this down. Wouldn't surprise me if this year a 16 seed is sniffing the upset. Remember I told you this. A 16 seed is sniffing upset against a one for the first time in NCAA tournament history.
Brandon Lang, BrandonLang.com. We appreciate it all year long. Brandon, we'll talk to you a month or so from now. We can start getting ready for March Madness. Where can we get all your picks on just the regular season games until then?
BrandonLang.com, looking to go to 15-2 in college basketball tonight. Enjoying the college hoop run. Let's continue to make people money.
Appreciate it. There he goes. Brandon Lang was with us every week of the NFL season, both on the air and on the web. So appreciate him. And, man, it's seeing him at the Super Bowl, and every year I go there, I see Brandon. And Brandon's always got some good stories. You think the stories on the air are funny or enlightening? The stories off the air are even better. So if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Ryan tells us, Brady, I completely agree with you. It takes any team in the NFL to trade away a player. They do what is best for the team, and every individual player should do what's best for them and their family. And as I say, no matter what you owe to an organization, because a lot of players do owe a lot to certain organizations that have given them opportunities. No matter what you owe, when you help that organization win a championship, you've paid back that debt. You have paid back that debt. You have made that team's investment in you worth it. And then you deserve the opportunity to go invest in yourself. So if Deion Lewis leaves, I'll be disappointed. I like Deion Lewis. If I were a Patriot fan, I would love him. I enjoy watching him. I think that makes the team better. But if he leaves, it would be totally justified. As the Pats move into free agency further, the Patriots website, Patriots.com, was coming at this question with this angle. If you could only re-sign one of the Patriots free agents, who would it be? And they gave you five choices. Nate Solder, the offensive lineman, Rex Burkhead and Deion Lewis, the running backs, Danny Amendola, the wide receiver, and Malcolm Butler. And I'm here to tell you, there's only one answer to that, and it's easy for me, and it's Nate Solder. And that's tough because offensive linemen aren't flashy. They aren't sexy. You don't covet their football cards or covet their jerseys, but they are necessary. And I'll tell you why the others aren't needed as much as Solder first, before then I just get to Solder himself. Look, I love Burkhead. You guys know this. Rex Burkhead was my guy all year. He was injured a bunch this season. And you can find running backs in the draft. They found Burkhead from a utility role in Cincinnati. They found Lewis off the injury scrap heap. They found James White, who I never heard of in college, and they turned all of them into useful running backs. The team also has James White and Mike Gillisley under contract. Rex Burkhead is not a necessity for the Patriots as much as I love him. Deion Lewis is not a necessity for the Patriots. He makes the team better, but as I just said, you know, see Rex Burkhead commentary from 30 seconds ago. You can find it back in the draft. This is a deep running back class. Deion Lewis is 27 years old, and although, look, he had broken his leg early in his career, he tore his ACL, you know, in his age 25 season. So although his age is 27, the tread on that on those tires doesn't feel like it's 27. I still think there are other options there that are cheaper than what Deion Lewis is going to want. As for Amendola, this one's tough. I love Amendola. I think that his relationship with Tom Brady is invaluable. I think his chemistry with Tom Brady is invaluable. And ultimately, keeping Tom Brady happy is what makes the Patriots go. That is incredibly valuable for the Pats. And Amendola brings something that no one else outside of Julian Edelman can bring. That familiarity, relationship, and trust with Brady. That said, he's going to be in his mid-30s. Mid-30s, off-injured in his career, although he stayed relatively healthy this year and last year. But how much longer is that going to go for? Now, I think they'll be able to bring him back because I don't think he's going to command a lot of money. But the question is, if you could only have one, who would it be? Malcolm Butler's gone. Forget that. I'm not even going to allow myself to entertain that possibility. He is donezo. So that leaves us Nate Solder, 29 years old. He was injured a bit this year too, but has been relatively durable over the course of his career. But he was hurt this year. I get that. Offensive line play. Think about the biggest stories in the NFL this year. We went through some of this yesterday. Anthem protests, injuries, what's a catch, quarterback play being down, and offensive line play being down is probably number five. And we had all the questions. Well, the decreased practice time, doesn't that make offensive linemen worse? Or, man, they're just not building them like they were in college. And no matter how you see it, offensive line play looked more spotty this season. So it was bad in Seattle. It was bad with the Giants. It was bad with even some teams that are good. It wasn't great for. Your biggest job is not only keeping Tom Brady happy, it's keeping Tom Brady upright. So my left tackle is going to be the main cog in the machine that does that. I can't be taking chances on, you know, late picks in the first round, late picks in the third round. Patriots are picking at the end of every round. I can't take chances like that. I need a familiar face that Tom Brady trusts, and that's Nate Solder. So I hope they don't have to overpay because I don't like overpaying for guys that have been injured in their career. But if I did have to overpay, then I guess it would be for that guy. Nate Solder becomes the most important guy to me. Nick in Plattsburgh gets in on the text line. Brandon Lang must be talking about Florida Gulf Coast as the 16 seed. I watched them on vacation last week and can't believe bracketology sites had them as a 16. They are super long, athletic, and experienced too. So we appreciate Nick getting in. When we come back, we'll get more into UVM and UAlbany. We'll talk to you more about Jimmy Garoppolo, who was reintroduced in San Francisco today. Champlain Valley Game Night, 113 ESPN.
It's Champlain Valley Game Night with Brady Farkas, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Going up until 7 o'clock, so final segment here of the week on a Friday. Coming up at 7 over on 960, the Zone pregame show for the Boston Celtics. They'll take on the Indiana Pacers. Remember, Sports Saturday, tomorrow, Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki, and Aaron Wells. They'll be on that 10 a.m. Rich Haskell's going to call in, talk about pond hockey, what's going on down on Mallets Bay. Tim Kirchen of ESPN is going to join the show, and Tom Brennan, also legendary UVM men's basketball coach. If you want to get in, you can, 802-655-6672. Joe in Hinesburg, he waded through the break. Joe, what's on your mind, man? You're on Champlain Valley Game Night.
Hey, Brady.
Hey, Joe.
I agree. I really agree how valuable Nick Solder is, but look how the season started. He was really distracted with his little girl. And, you know, he came back pretty strong in the end of the season. But they can't risk that. They've got to pay him. They can't overpay him, number one, whether it's Brady or not. They've got to draft his replacement, because we don't know how things are going with his family. He's awesome when he's there, but sometimes mentally he's not there. So they've really got to take that in consideration before they make that kind of a commitment.
Joe, I appreciate the call, man. So that was Joe in Hinesburg saying that Nate Solder, look, now if you don't know, Nate Solder is child. I don't remember if it's a boy or a girl. I thought it was a son. Joe said, little girl, so I'd have to verify that, has cancer, so he's battling through some very serious family things. as far as it's on the football field stuff. It's tough when people say, oh, we got to draft Solder's replacement. Look at what exactly everyone says the Patriots need. People have said now the Patriots need Solder's replacement. They need Brady's replacement. They need defensive linemen who can get after the quarterback. So that would be 1 to 2 pass rushers. They need more linebackers. They need a defensive back to replace Butler. You only get 7 rounds. You only get 7 rounds of the draft. How does a team that just got to the Super Bowl and went 13-3 and was number one seed in the AFC, they really need all of that? I tell you, I mean, here's what the Patriots are going to have to address via the draft or via free agency. They are going to have to get Brady's replacement at quarterback. That is going to come to the draft. It's going to be somebody who they can groom over the next 2 years at least, 2 to 3, and that guy can take over for Brady. That's coming from the draft. They do need more offensive linemen. They need more tackles because Solder's a free agent. LaAdrian Waddle's a free agent. And Cameron Fleming is a free agent. Now, you could, but I doubt you're bringing back all three of those. So offensive linemen in free agency, or at least one in the draft, I would say is plausible. You do need at least one linebacker. Maybe that's somebody you can find in free agency. You have Dont'a Hightower coming back. But David Harris is going to give you nothing. Kyle Van Noy, as long as he's healthy, he's still good. Now, you are going to get back the guy who was out for the entire season now at this point. Intern Logan's mouth. Who? What do you think?
Hightower?
Well, Hightower's out for the entire season. I know that. 802-655-6672. Give me the name of the Patriots linebacker that was out for the entire season that we kept waiting on. We thought he was going to get activated. Then he was on IR again. Now I'm gonna be kicking myself because somebody is gonna give me the answer, and I hope that you do because I want to know. So, intern Logan's vigorously going over to his phone here, trying to figure it out. Yeah, it's a Patriots linebacker who was out for the entire season, who we thought was coming back at one point. They ended up deactivating him. More things the Patriots need. They're gonna need at least one defensive back, probably two, because Johnson Bademos, he's a free agent, and Malcolm Butler's a free agent, and we at least think that Butler is gone. We know, in fact, we're pretty sure he's gone. You need a wide receiver because you don't know about Amendola, but Malcolm Mitchell's coming back, so you might be able to get away with that. So the Patriots do have a lot of, and you're going to lose at least one of Lewis and Burkhead, I would think. So I think you probably have a realistic chance at losing both, but, Patriots do need a lot, but I don't think they need quite as much as you think. Did you find we really can't figure this out between the two of us? Yeah, at least you have the computer in front of you. I'm staring at nothing here, pretty much. We'll do some real fun stuff here. I'll Google it while I'm talking to you. Patriots linebacker injury 2017. See, well, I know about, and remember Derek Rivers, he was the linebacker they drafted. Linebacker D-end hybrid they drafted in the third round. That was their first pick this year. He was out for the entire season. So that's one that we're talking about. Let's see here. All right. John Brandon Cooks. Nope, still don't have it yet. Still don't have the injuries yet. So now I'm going to figure this out. Ryan says number 51. So let's look and see who number 51 is on the Patriots then. Because this is going to infuriate me for the rest of the show. This may be the most uninteresting radio I've ever done in my life, by the way. This may be the most uninteresting radio that I've ever done, trying to figure out who this is. He says Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo was on the team like 100 years ago. So it's definitely not Gerard Mayo. Derek Rivers was out for the entire season. Logan, answer the phone and see if someone can tell us the name of the injured Patriot who we're talking about for the entire season. Because this is absolutely just, it's all over my mind here. 802-655-66. Shea McClellan. That's who we're talking about. And it was number 58, Ryan. So is that what the caller wanted to say, Shea McClellan? Yes. Shea McClellan. So now we know. McClellan, we figure, is going to be back next season. So as for the Patriot needs, I still think Solder's the most needed out of the five that Patriots.com gave us for a chance. How about last night's UVM game? Come back from 17 down. We've got intern Logan in here. Did you watch the game? Did you listen to the game?
I did.
So Inter Logan is like the most big, is the biggest UVM fan I've ever seen in my life in every sport. He's probably got like the, you know, the recruits down for the women's soccer team at this point. He probably knows the men's cross country recruits. He's got everything down. What they're doing is incredible. 31 consecutive conference wins, 17 down yesterday on the road at your arch rival. Unbelievable. I mean, what are you thinking as a fan who's lived here your entire life?
It's absolutely outstanding to, you know, just to see something that pure and great happening here in Vermont. I mean, we have no big professional teams. The hockey team's been on and off the last
Lake
couple
Monsters.
Of years.
Don't say the Lake Monsters aren't big. First rule of radio, don't insult the local market.
The Lake Monsters have done terrific. They had a great season last year.
I got them all scared now. I got them all I got them all flustered here.
But you know, it
fluster the intern Friday.
It also does something as far as UVM's, you know, new athletic campus. You start showing more success, it's going to push more people to want to do that for you. It's going to just bring, you know, as you said with the arena upgrades, maybe that brings better players here. As far as UVM last night, I'm sitting in the car listening to them down by 17, and half the mistakes they had were mental mistakes, and it's amazing that they can just come out in a half and turn that around.
You know, they started right away. Drew Urquhart scored the first bucket of the second half, and then they were off and running. And I had a buddy of mine who's in radio and now works in Denver, and we would talk about this constantly. When you look at a game that a team wins or loses, you go right to what we call the toughness stats, and you see how those played out through the course of the game. And generally, if a team wins all of the toughness stats, they win the game for the most part. And we're talking about turnovers, the turnover battle. We talk about points in the paint. We talk about rebounding. Those are the three of the four keys in the toughness stats. The fourth one is free throw shooting. Albany won all of those other ones, okay? They out-rebounded UVM. They had less turnovers and more assists. They had a better assist-to-turnover ratio than the Cats did yesterday. Where UVM separated themselves was not only their ability at the free throw line, 20 for 20 versus Albany, who had 8. So they're plus 12 at the line. That's the difference in the game right there. Okay, UAlbany loses that game by 5. They get outshot by 12 at the free throw line. That's the game. All those other stats went Albany's way. The free throw line didn't. So on one hand, you have the ability of UVM to shoot it from the stripe, but also the willingness to get to the line, the willingness to go inside. And that's what's impressed me, because in a post-Anthony Lamb world, we were expecting this team to get more jump shot dependent. We were expecting this team to be more predicated on Ernie Duncan threes and Everett Duncan threes, and Peyton Henson and Drew Urquhart were going to shoot from the outside. That hasn't been the case. All right, that's it for us tonight. That's it for us this week. Intern Logan with a little bit of airtime here at the end. Jeff, Paul, Bernie Siplicki, Aaron on tomorrow, Sports Saturday, 10 to noon. We'll see you on Monday. Enjoy pond hockey, everybody, over the weekend. 101.3 ESPN.